Or okay, Rabbi Isai, we are on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. We just finished talking about the Isser to say Tefillah out loud. We learned it from Chana because it says Rak Sraseha Naos. Kol Lo Yishama. You're not allowed to let your voice be heard. So the Gemara brings a machlokas about this. We're up to the word starts Milsei the Chanan Barba Pliga. That the Chanan Barba argues on this. The Chanan Barba Omar the Chavraya. Chanan came and said to his friends, to the other scholars in the base Medrash, Neighbor Lachoin Milsa Tavsa the Chamis L'Rav Ovid. Let me tell you something good that I saw Rav do. We actually had this Gemara earlier, but we're repeating it over again for the purpose of the Sugya, according to most Mepharshim. But Amrisei Kumei Shmuel, I said this observation that I saw Rav doing to Shmuel, and he was so excited about Kamanash Kalpumei that he gave him a kiss. Baruch Ator Shofet, what he saw was the Rav, when he said Baruch Ator, he would bend down, and Balaskar Hashem Zokef, when he would come to say Hashem's name, he would stand off, and Shmuel said, he would straighten up, rather, and Shmuel Omar, he said, I'm going to tell you the reasons, because it says Hashem Zokef Kufufim, and Hashem straightens out those who are bent. So, the Gemara is assuming that if Hanan was able to discern from the tefillah of Rav's private Shmona Esrei exactly where he was when he's straightening up, he obviously must have been able to hear Rav's words, because otherwise how did he know what he was up to? So that's the Gemara's riot. So that's pligo. So it argues on the previous statement. Okay. Gemara goes on. Excuse me,
but why isn't it enough that he would see what he was doing? I mean,
how did he know that he got up, that he straightened up by the word Hashem, whether he did it before he said the word Hashem? There's two approaches to Hashem. You could be bent down, you know, while you're saying the Shem Hashem, or you could be straightening yourself up once you say the Shem Hashem.
So he had to be doing both, being able to see him and to hear him.
Yes.
Okay.
In order to be able to make this report accurate, Amar Abamila Mestaver the law Amar Elam Mipnei Shmini Chasu. It says, but doesn't it say we had the same Shachmatai earlier? Basically, that because the pasuk seems to say because or from before he was humbled before my name, which means that you should be in the humbled position, namely bent over, when you say Hashem's name. So he was kind of like saying what doesn't seem to make sense what Shmuel is saying. Amar Avin, that's not correct. He will have exiv bishmi nichasu. He was humbled at my name. Havayos, then you'd be correct. But les exiv ella mipnei shmi nichasu, since the pasuk says mipnei kodem actually hiskas Hashem kran nichasu. So that means before. Next. Rabbi Abba Bazavdo Masli Bikola. Here it says that Rabbi Abba actually prayed out loud. Rabbi Yoina, kind of have a Masli Bikinishtav of Mitzal Golkisha. When he davened in Shul, he would daven quietly so as not to disturb others. But when he would daven at home, he would daven out loud. Adiyelfum b'nei b'aseh tzloysim b'nei, so the people in the household would learn the text of the Shmona Esrei. Of course, we're talking about a time when there were no Sidurim, no article Sidurim around. And therefore, he's saying the Shmona Esrei out loud in order to teach his household what the words of Shmona Esrei are. Amar Rav Mana, he said the same thing. They based on the Abba, referring to his own father, Yalfa Tzilusim Minei, they would learn the Shmona Esrei from his father's, family learned it from his father. The text of the Shmona Esrei, because his father also davened out. So it's a little funny. If we have to really think about this for a second, if the pasuk of Chana Kol Lo Yishama is halacha in tefillah, then it would be lechara. There would be no exceptions. It wouldn't be different in the shul than it is at home, if it's a halacha in how you're supposed to daven. So it seems to me that these Amoraim, not sure whether they're agreeing with the limud exactly. Or you could say that there's a shot that there's when there's a purpose to davening out loud, then there's a purpose. Just like we hold on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you can daven out loud as long as it doesn't disturb others, even though the whole year round we daven quietly. So it could be, it's the same thing here. Okay. Now we're going to go into where we learn the three tefillos from. Everybody knows this from Tefillas HaShachar. Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmani Yomer Keneged Shlosh HaPomim Shehayom Mishtana HaPias. There are three times of the day that there's a change in your perspective. Let's put it this way. Three times a day, you have a change in your perspective towards life. And that is the follows, as follows. B'Shachar, in the morning, you're grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He took you out from the darkness to the light. He woke you up, brought up the sun, and we have a nice day. So we have that feeling of gratitude that we came out of the darkness into the light. That's the morning attitude. Then the afternoon attitude, So you're saying, just like I was zochah to see the sun in the east, so I'm zochah to see it in the west. So that would be your attitude in the afternoon. But erev tzarach leimar, yosef nachash mol kaim kavusai, k'shem she'isim ba'afel ba'tzisani ayra kach. So there again, it's the same type of a tefillah, just like you took me out from light to dark, from darkness to light today. So take me out from darkness to light tomorrow as well. Now, in the footnotes, he mentions that the Bir Halacha, it's the first Bir Halacha in the Mishnah Berurah. If you look it up, Siman Aleph, first paragraph, the Mishnah Berurah says, Nachon Ma'od, Li Zahar, Lomar Kodem Kol Shalosh Tefillos. This is the first words of Mishnah Berurah in the Bir Halacha. Mishnah Berurah advocates saying over these tefillos. Okay? And then he quotes the language of the Yerushalmi. Now, Reb Chaim Kanievsky says that's not correct. The Yerushalmi never meant to say that we are going to be saying this text. That's not the point behind the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is just telling us what the source of why we daven three tefillos, what it comes from. That it comes from this sentiment that we encounter each day. It doesn't mean that we're supposed to say this text. That's not what the Yerushalmi meant. And therefore, he doesn't see any need for us to say that. And also in the brackets in the bottom of 43a2, he mentions that this will account for the fact that none of the poskim until the Chofetz Chaim ever mentioned this idea of saying the Yiratzot. So it's kind of like the Chofetz Chaim's own innovation. It's the Chofetz Chaim's own innovation. And it's not necessarily agreed to.
Shlomi, the common denominator of this is that all the tefillos are based on Hakar Satov. It's not about Srachim. It's all Hakar Satov.
That's right. That's a good point. That's right. So the underlying energy behind all our tefillos is more of Hakar Satov perspective than reaching out with a request. That's certainly sounds that way. Yeah, good point. Okay, anybody else want to comment anything about this before we move on? Okay, Rabbi Shlomo Levi Omar, Tefillos Me'avos Lamadim. Now we have another perspective. That is, that the reason why we have these tefillos is because we learn them from the Avos. There seems to be a change in the language of the Bavli to the Yerushalmi. It's a subtle change, but I think it's important. And that is that, let me just see the exact language here. Yeah, in the textual interpretive variants, a second more significant difference between our Gemara and the Bavli is our Gemara states that the sages derived the practice of praying from the Avos, they learned it from them. The Bavli says, Tfilos Avos Titnum, that the Avos actually were masaking the Tfilos. That is a significant difference. In other words, and that's what I was looking before, right? When you saw me looking down at my phone, I was trying to find the Rambam. I remember the Rambam brings down a whole story with how Avram was, and I don't remember the exact language, but he says Avram prayed Shacharis and Yitzchak prayed Mincha and Yaakov prayed Maariv, but I wasn't sure, did the Rambam quote that he was masaking to pray Shacharis or did he just write Vihispalel Shacharis? I can't remember the language. It's Mefarish of the Rambam. Anyway, so that's a significant difference. Okay, so let's just go through this real quick. I'm just going to run through these psukim because these are all in the Bavli. I'm sure you all know them. So I'm going to go really quickly now. So Tfilas HaShachar, Amir Avram Avinu, Ashk, Amir Avram Avinu, 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 Okay, so we have the lashon of Amida from Avraham Avinu. We have Sicha, right? Sicha, which is a lashon of Tefillah from Yitzchak. And we have Pigia as a lashon of Tefillah by Yaakov. Okay, that's the end of that. Now we're going to Megillah base. Rabbanan Amru, the Rabbanan say, Tfilas mitmidim gamru. So we learned out the Tfilas from the Karban Tamid. So therefore we have, as we all know, there's two Karban Tamids that are brought every day. So there's two Karban Tamid, two Olas, which are brought each day. So Tfilas HaShachar mitom HaShachar. Es HaKevas HaKadat Sababaker, that we know. You bring in the morning the Kevas, so that's where Shachar comes from. Tfilas HaMincha. Now, what about Tfilas HaErev? So the first lashon of the Yerushalmi says Leimotzu Bamelat Loisa. They didn't know where to connect that to. The Shonu also stops, so therefore it was just put out there as a general, in a general way. In other words, there wasn't a framework of time per se about Meirev because it didn't seem to be connected with any particular carbon. Hado Disney on Tfilas HaErev and Elo Keva. So that's why the Mishnah says that there's no kvias, meaning there's no specific time for Meirev. It's any time during the night because they aren't able to connect it to a specific carbon. In other words, like this, that this is very important. The Rambam speaks out b'feirish in Hilchas Tfilas Mincha. He says the following. He says that Tfilas Mincha, the main time for Mincha is from what's called Mincha Katana, which is from Teisha Shos Umetza onwards. So why is that? Because that's the Zman of the Tamid Shobein HaRabayim. Now there was a period, there were times, rare times, occasions when they had to push back the time of HaKrovos HaTamid Shobein HaRabayim to accommodate the busyness of the Beis HaMikdash. So for instance, on Pesach, which came out, let's say, on Shabbos, I guess, maybe Erev Shabbos, I don't remember whether it was Erev Shabbos or Shabbos, I don't remember that, but whatever it is, they pushed it all the way back to as early as they could be, marker of the Talmud Shel Bein Arbayim, which is 12:30, because they had so much, they had to bring marker of all the Karban Pesachs that day, so they had to move it back. So the Rambam says that since this only happened on occasion, so that's not the proper time to daven mincha. The proper time to daven mincha is the regulated time, the regular and everyday time, which is connected to Tamid Shel Bein HaRabayim, when it was brought, which is at Mincha Kitana, the smaller period of time from 3:30 to 6, that time period, that's the right time. People that daven every day at 12:30, 1 o'clock, The Rambam doesn't approve of that. He says that should be done only if you have to. Interesting. I find it interesting because all the yeshivas daven at that time. You know, I mean, all the yeshivas I went to, Lakewood yeshivas, all daven, you know, at 1:30, whatever. So, I mean, the question, of course, would be why, if the Rambam says not to do that, but I haven't looked into that issue. Just bringing it up as how Ara.
So I'm a little confused. Don't we say that's Hector Chalavim, you know, that's what that represents. That's
you're absolutely right. And it's about to be said that if you just hold on 1 second, that's the next paragraph. But at this point, Yerushalmi hasn't said that. That's the next paragraph. Omar Ab Tamchuma. Od who kavosan kenegan ichlei barm v'pdarim. He had the makkah that you just mentioned, that the myrav was connected, the consumption of the limbs that were being burnt from the two carbon tumens of the day that were Troy Masachlin, Al Gamay Mizmech Hal Island, they were being consumed on the Mizmech the whole night. So you're absolutely right. That is what we say in the Bavli, but here in the Yerushalmi, there seem to be two opinions here. Okay. I just want to say one thing here, which I think is kedai. It's a little too early for me to say it. Let me wait a second. I have to wait. There's one more gemara we have to do for me to make this point. For now, just keep in mind this idea that legabe a certain aspect of tefillah we have connected very closely, modeled the zmanei hatefillah after the karbonis. So you see a very close connection to the Karbonis. We're going to see in a minute where the model gets reversed. We're going to see in a second. Okay. Maybe we'll see how far we get. If you don't mind, Abba Shah. So Yehuda said we go 4 hours. So there's a question exactly. How does Yehuda know what he said? So the first opinion is Midivrei Torah Lamad Rabbi Yehuda. That he actually learned it out from a scriptural source. The Torah of Rabbi Shmuel said the following. This is going to be a kind of like funny, kind of leave it, but follow along. In the Parsha of Mon, it says, "Chom Hashemesh v'nomos," that the sun heated up the day, it got hot. The sun grew hot, and v'nomos, the Mon would melt. That took place by Arba Shos. That's at the fourth hour of the day, 10 o'clock. That's when the sun would melt the Mon. So everybody would go out collecting mon till 9 o'clock. At 10 o'clock, the mon would dissipate. Kishuwan or kichom hayom. Elsewhere, when it says kichom hayom, now that's a pasuk by Avraham Avinu, right? Yeah, by Avraham Avinu. It says v'hu yoshei pesach ohel kichom hayom. Avraham Avinu was sitting in the tent waiting for guests. It says over there kichom hayom that the day was hot. Now that when is the day hot? The whole day is hot. That will be at 12 o'clock noon. When it says Chom HaShemesh, so it doesn't say Chom HaYom, but Arba Shos, then it means the fourth hour. So now that we have established that when it says Shemesh, right, that means the fourth hour, so now let's go learn now Baboker Baboker. Ba'atorash Baboker Baboker. Now we're going to see how we learn how the carbon. This is going to be the source of Rabbi Yehuda learning that the fourth hour is going to be the Zman for Shachris. Because it says Baboker Baboker. Ma Baboker Shnevel Halom Barber shows. Just as Baboker, they used to go out to collect the mon in the morning. And that meant up until the fourth hour, because after the fourth hour it disappeared. So also the Baboker, which it says here by the Sakev Sakhon, Tasa Baboker, by the Karban Tumid, it was also by Arba Shos. And since, right, so it's now since. So you got the limud here. So first the Gemara proved that the Mon was only available until the fourth hour. Then the Gemara made a Gzeira Shava of Baboker, Baboker, from the Olas Hadboker to the Mon. So just like over there, it was up until the fourth hour, so too. The Karban Tumid was until the fourth hour. And of course, since the Shachris is connected to the Tumid, so that will only be good until the fourth hour. That will be Rabbi Yehuda learning his shita from the Torah. Ba'arba Shoyin, Shimsha Chamin, Betula Karer. In the fourth hour, the new Shem is just going to go now and describe scientifically the difference between the fourth hour and the sixth hour. In the fourth hour, the Yerushalmi says, when you're out in the sun, directly in the sun, it is hot, but if you're underneath a tree, you're in the shade and it is cool. But the Shishon at the sixth hour, 12 o'clock, Shim Shachamin, the Tilo Shachamin, it's hot everywhere, even underneath the tree. What does it mean? It means there's no shade. Fine. Next. Now, we're going to talk about when different people daven shachris. Rabbi Yossi and Tzali B'tlash Shon. Rabbi Yossi would daven in the first 3 hours of the day. Rabbi Marvon, Maslam B'tlash Shon, he'd also daven in the first 3 hours. Presumably, they're davening in the first 3 hours because they want to say Kriya Shema and they want to be Samak Vul at Filah. So since they're going to be Samak Vul at Filah, so they're obviously going to have to daven in the first 3 hours. Now, Rabbi Rechia Hamoinei, Rebrechia was seen, Kari Kriyashma Umitzali Basat Las Shayin. He was seen both reading Kriyashma and davening Shmona Esrei after 3 hours. So the Gemara asks, what kind of business is that? That's not possible. You can't daven Kriyashma after the third hour. Hotanino, how Kari become Elko Hirsit. It says, if you read Kriyashma after the third hour, you don't lose, but you're not being Makan the Mitzvah. The Kodam Kobur Torah, it's like reading the Torah. So how did he read it late? So the Neymar, so my answer is, let's just say the following. Far kibol machas shemayim b'inasa. He already was makabal machas shemayim. He said kriya shema like we do when we daven with the 9 o'clock minion. We'll daven kriya shema before we come to shul so that we know we're yotze kriya shema. And then later on, we'll daven shemayim esrei afterwards in the third to fourth hour. So to him, it was more important. So here it's very clear. It's more important to Reb Rechia. Here's a Beferish Yerushalmi. It's more important to Reb Rechia to be davening B'tzibor in the right time rather than saying the brachas of Kriya Shema in the Zman of Kriya Shema and daven B'yechidus. There are those poskim who hold, I think the Rabbi Asher Ber held this way, halacha. He was, the Briskers had a tradition, I think it's based on a Dirk and a Rashi, that Rashi, I think, has, there's a Mashmos and a Rashi, that says that there's, just like there's a Zman for Kriya Shema, there's also a preferred Zman for Birchas Kriya Shema, and you should say the whole thing together as a Takona, and therefore, he would not daven B'tzibor. But here it's Yushami, it's B'Feirish, not like that. Reb Rechia clearly was more interested in davening B'tzibor. So, now, so we had the first opinion we started with was Midivrei Torah Lomad Rabbi Yehuda. That's the way we started before. Did he learn his opinion from the Torah? Now we have a different one. Imei Eidos Lomad Rabbi Yehuda, or was it from testimony? Meaning, it wasn't a drasha, it was something that they had as a kabbal, I guess. The Mar of Sim B'Shem Rabbi Yeshua and Levi, Imei Malchus Yob in the time of the Greek regime, when Antiochus was besieging Jerusalem in the second temple, so in order to bribe the outside, they would send down two baskets of gold, and they would send up two lambs so they could offer the daily tumit. One time they sent down the two gold baskets, and they sent up instead of a lamb, which is a female, right? Is that right? Yeah, a lamb is female, right? And a goat is male, right? So instead, they sent up the goats. Now, only goats could be only lambs could be used for the carbon tomit. So Isa saw a hair nehem. They didn't know what to do, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu kind of like made them find something, some missing lamb, so to speak. They found in the Lishka, remember, they used to have to do bedikos for 4 days Was it 4 days? I think it was 4 days. I'm just checking out. 22. Four days, right? So it's a footnote 22. Normally, you have to check the lambs for 4 days. It's easy to remember. You know why? Because we always say the minimum number of days that you have to say slichas before Rosh Hashanah is 4 days. Why? Because you have to have 4 days of bikur, 4 days of checking your meisim. So it's easy to remember the 4 days. Okay. So he found these two lambs in the chamber. So at that time, he testified. This is the Eidos we're talking about. In other words, there was obviously a delay. He had to throw down the coins over the wall, and they pulled the two goats up, and they're looking at the goats. They don't know what to do. Then a kodesh baruch with hey reineim, and they had to go get the lambs. Obviously, there was a big delay here. And so he sent Eidos to let them know that you could be marker of the korban atomid, shoshachar shekorin ba'arashos. So this might be the reason. So this is what the Gemara calls, it's an Eidos that was the source of Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Now, the Gemara leaves this, the way he presents it here, the Gemara was asking the question, is it from the Torah that he learns his Shita, or is it from the Eidos that he learned his Shita? And it was a question the Gemara was throwing out, and the question is not answered. Okay. Yeah. I'm Rav Levi. Now the Gemara is going to quote another story. I don't know if this is significant that this is happening right after Hanukkah. Even after the Roman, the days of the present evil regime, the Romans, same idea. Famous story that there were two Chazerim that came up. This famous story happened on Shavuos Batamas, right? It was Batal HaTamid that was no longer there. I was speaking like Yil Chatzi Chaima that these Chazerim only got halfway up the wall. One of the two Chazerim dug its hooves into the wall. This Daza Chaima, the wall, shook. Kofatz Abraham Parasom, Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael literally shrunk. There were 40 Parasos that shrunk from Eretz Yisrael. But Eretz Yisrael Gormu Havainas. In the footnotes, he seems to be very upset about this because this apparently was an incident that happened. In other words, from Argamart's Mashmas was in the second temple, but he says in the Gemara in Erech, it's evident that this happened in the first temple. Anyway, so he gets a little gets involved in that, exactly what this story is doing here. Okay, let's not worry about that for now. My time is Rabbanan. What's the reason? How come the Chacham disagree and they say you can go until the 6th hour? Because it says, Shnayim layom, and now we're on Abdallah and Aleph. Chalokas hayom, let's divide the day. Shnayim layom, right? That's by the Pasha of Tumid. Time is Rabbi Huda. What does Rabbi Huda explain? The Shnayim layom? Shnayim layom, chov aliyom, meaning that each day there was a chov to bring the two karbonos, and if you missed that day, you could no longer make it up. It's not shayach tashlum. That's the way they learned this. Chov aliyom. If you look at the Haredim, they ain't lahem tashlum. Yomo batal karbonos. There's no tashlum for these karbonos. Okay. Let's go further. So we have two advocates per day. In other words, it's a kapara for us, for Klal Yisrael. He says in the bottom here that, what is he quoting the Haredim? Yeah. So Praklitim was the Haredim. Let's go to the Hebrew. Amar b'medrash. Lo lonad miyushalayim b'yoro avo. Person never slept over Yerushalayim having averus. That the morning tamid was machaper for the averus from the night until morning. And the one in the afternoon was machaper averus till the afternoon, from the whole day. Right. So this is another riot that they brought the carbon towards the end of the day, because if you brought it at midday. So you didn't have anything covering you for the second half of the day. You want to be covered for the whole day. Anyway, so that's the Shnayim Layom, Shnei Praklitim Layom. Shnayim Layom. By the way, let me just remind everybody of the Mishnah Tainus. It says that now that that Beis HaMikdash is carved, what schus does the world remain kayim? We don't have the schus of the Karbonis. And the Mishnah over there says famously, the schus that we say the Pasha of the Talmud every day. And therefore, it's very important each and every day to say the Pasha HaTalmud and Davening. A lot of people may have grown up without having gotten into the habit of saying the Parashas HaTalmud. I know I was among those people. I went to yeshiva. I never said Karbonis. And after I learned the Mishnah in Talmud, and I heard shiur from people who are Yodei Sefer, it became very clear to me that this is a very important inyan. And here you see again, this is Mamash Makayim Develt, Shnei Praklitim. Very important. Shnayim Layom. That you have to have an intention to do it for that day. So that means, according to the Haredim, he says that you shouldn't have in mind when you shaft it that you're going to be Zorik the Dam the next day, because if you do that, it's going to become pigle. So Shehei Shchitasam L'Shem Hayom means that the Shchita should be the intention you can do Zrika that day. Another drasha Shnayim L'Yom Shetei Shchitasam K'neged Hayom. This is very interesting. So it means that the slaughter would be opposite the day. It means opposite the rays of the sun. In the morning, the sun is rising in the east, and the rays are if you're in inside a building and there are tall walls around the building, so then the rays from the sun in the east are going to hit the wall, creating a shadow on the east side, and the only place where you're going to really get any light from the sun is going to be closer to the west side. So you're going to put the carbon tumid on the west side of the room in the morning. And in the afternoon, when the sun is on the west side, it's the other way around. The rays are hitting the wall coming west to east, and therefore the light will be on the east side of the room. And therefore, in the picture you have here, Artswell has a picture, that what they would do is they had these hooks in the ground, right? Rings, I should say, rings in the ground. There were 24 rings in the ground connected to the Tkofta al Mishmaros. And what they would do is, for the carbon tumid, they would put the animal in the second ring on the west side in the morning, and in the second ring on the east side in the afternoon, so that the carbon would actually be hit with the light. So we're focusing the carbon to be reflective of the sunlight. That's what it's basically what it's saying here. Shlaim Layom Shadesh Kitasan Kneged Ayom, Hado Disin and Hamon, Thomas Shakra Hayanishan Al Karn Arovis Tonis, Al Tabas Shniyo was the second one away from the altar, Kneged Hayom, opposite the sun. And the opposite way was in the afternoon. So Binishan Al Karn Tonis Mazrakas, then you would be on the northeast side, Al Tabas Shniyo Kneged Hayom. Now, why was it the second one, not the first one? So the explanation that's given by Chaim Knievsky in his parish is they used to tie the feet of the animal to the first rung so it shouldn't move around during the Shkita. You should also be well aware which one of the Kabbarnas was in the morning, which one was in the afternoon. Purpose of that was what? When you set aside the kabbonis in the morning, you should set aside the kevas. You should say, this kevas is for the chakras, this kevas is for the afternoon. Okay. So I think we're going to stop here. It's 9:04. And we'll continue from here tomorrow. Okay. Is that okay with everybody?
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you so much for attending. Anybody have any questions?
Pleasure.